From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're delighted that you've decided to join us for today's program. And on behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for a message from God's Holy Word, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called The Unconcealable Christ, the account of our Lord's dealing with the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was seriously ill. In the course of the message, we've seen the confession of Christ's person and the revelation of His pity. Finally, we're going to see the demonstration of His power. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns continues his emphasis on the Protestant Reformation as he exposes the confessional, Rome's black box.
As you probably guessed, I come from Ireland. The Irish can make a joke out of anything. It's not that they don't take important things seriously, it's just that their humor often helps them deal with sometimes unpalatable truths. When I thought of speaking to you today about the curse of the confessional, I remembered a story. Mrs. Mulgrew went into the confessional and was about to start when she detected that the man behind the screen was not her usual priest. "You're not Father O'Rourke. What are you doing here?" she said. "No," the man replied. "I'm the furniture polisher." "And where's Father O'Rourke?" she asked. "I don't know," replied the furniture polisher, "but if he's heard anything like the stories I've been listening to, he's probably gone for the police." As usual, behind the humor is a very serious point. North America's most famous convert to Christianity from the Roman Catholic priesthood was Charles Tinneke, a French-Canadian who led a community to Illinois. Tinneke's conversion is an amazing story, as is his subsequent mission to expose the anti-Christianity of the Roman Catholic system. In one of his most devastating critiques, Tinneke wrote a book that swept the Christian world in his day. He titled it The Priest, The Woman, and The Confessional, and in it he charged that the Roman priesthood was guilty of widespread abuse and immorality. Now remember that this was back in the 19th century, before the almost daily exposure of the immorality and deviancy of thousands of Roman Catholic priests. By its nature, the confessional lends itself to abuse. Rome demands that her faithful make confession of grave sins, mortal sins, she terms them, to a priest at least once a year. She calls for a much more frequent confession and exhorts her people to confess their venial or lesser sins as well. This intrusion of the priest into the private lives and even thoughts of men and women has produced an almost endless catalogue of abuse. It is corrupting both to the priest and the person confessing. It is entirely without New Testament warrant. Christians don't need a priest to hear them as they make their confession to God. To be sure, they should confess their faults one to another, and at times the things they confess in secret to the Lord will have to be confessed to offended parties or even to the police. But all this is a far cry from Rome's ritualized confessional, where a priest hears confession, doles out what Rome terms temporal punishment, penance, and then pronounces pardon. "I forgive you." It's all wrong. The priest himself is a usurper of Christ's office. Christ is the only priest over the people of God, who are all priests unto God. Pardon is not purchased or merited by doing penance or bearing temporal punishment. And no false priest has the power to forgive sins if you meet the conditions he has set for your penance. The Bible way is far better. If we confess our sins, to God that is, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Irish may make a laugh about it, but the evil of the confessional is no joke. The confessional is Rome's black box where self-proclaimed priests exercise a non-existent power to pronounce a pardon that is altogether illusory. In Ireland, we have a saying to describe wasted breath, as confession to a priest most assuredly is. We say, save your breath to cool your porridge. Good advice, if it would keep one poor soul from Rome's black box.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
When you are possessed of this knowledge, this is the Lord, this is the King of Israel, this is the Son of David, this is the promised Christ, this is the fulfillment of every God-given covenant promise, this is the one who has the answer to my need. When you are convinced of that, even when there apparently is no immediate answer, you can do nothing else but wait, nothing else but pray, nothing else but cry. You say, like Peter, to whom else can we go? Thou only hast the words of eternal life. So you keep waiting. She waited. The Lord waited to be gracious. That's a beautiful text, you know. He waited. He waited. The devil tells you he waits because he's forgotten about you. He's waiting because he has no interest in you. He's waiting because he's cast you off. He's waiting because there's no help for you in God. When they said that to the psalmist and he wrote it down, he placed a selah after it. And while I realize modern scholarship likes to look on that as a mere musical notation, I'm not sure that they really have the authority to say that. I like the old-fashioned way that even if it was that, it was there to give us pause to stop and think. When they said to him, there's no help for you in God, he just stopped. Think of that. If it were true, there's no help in God, I would be of all men most miserable. But let me tell you, that's far from the truth. Jehovah does not wait out of hatred, but out of love. Not out of unconcern, but out of pity. He waits in order to be gracious. Why did he call the Gentiles dogs? Well, you've got to understand that the Lord Jesus here was actually using a proverb. Many people believe, and I think with some justification, that he softened the terms of it. It doesn't come through in translation so much, although you can see some evidence of it when she talked about the dogs under the table. The proverb would have spoken of the Gentiles as dogs, mad, wild, scavenging dogs. He spoke of the dogs under the table. Not quite what we in the West think of as little pets, but house dogs nonetheless. So he did soften it, but this was a Jewish way of speaking. To this day in the Middle East, of course, you'll find that. They speak about a Gentile dog. A heretic dog. We can't take our notions of 21st America political correctness and impose them in the Middle East of all those years ago. This was the way they had spoken. But the Lord Jesus quoted it in order to expose and to reject Jewish exclusivism and Jewish prejudice. He quoted the saying, but notice this, he was not bound by it. The saying said, you don't take the children's food and give it to dogs. You don't take what belongs to Israel and give it to the Gentiles. Jesus quoted it, but what did he do? He gave the blessing to the Gentile. In other words, he gave hope to the world by showing a pity that crosses every barrier of race, of religion, and of nationality. It's very obvious, too, that his pity stood in marked contrast even to his disciples. His disciples came and said, Lord, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, I know that many commentators believe they were saying, Lord, why are you so quiet? Why are you not doing something? Look, at least heal her daughter and send her away so she's not pestering us. The idea that many commentators have is send her away with the healing that she wants for her daughter. And the reason they say that is, verse 24 of Matthew 15, Jesus answers, they say, the disciples saying, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, he's answering the petition, send her away with the healing. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think verse 24 is his first response to the woman, not to the disciples at all. The disciples, as they did on other occasions when they were surrounded by needy souls, said, Lord, send them away. That was their answer to everything. Unless we get too self-righteous, I think very often it's our answer to people as well. How many Christians do you know that really, really, honestly and truly have the time and the energy and the love and the care and the concern to invest themselves in the lives and the troubles and the trials of other people? How many do you know? Precious few. Have you ever seen it? I'm not going to preach on this because I've mentioned it before, but I'll tell you, if this is the best you can do, put a zipper in your lip and say nothing and keep your hands in your pocket. Somebody's in real trouble. Before they can ever get to speak to you, you just pat them in the back and say, God bless you, I'll pray for you. Of course, you have no notion of praying for them. If you do, Lord bless them, and they're out of your mind. God bless you. Or even worse still, somebody's weighed down with a burden of care. You just pat them in the back and say, now don't worry. That's easy for you to say, isn't it? Don't worry. Don't worry. The only person that has the right to tell them not to worry is the one that's willing to take the time to take them to the one who bears the worry away. Otherwise, it's just hypocritical claptrap. Nothing more, nothing less. Send her away. Why? Lord, she's crying after us. Her presence makes us uncomfortable. And man, to make Christians uncomfortable, now that's a great crime. send her away. I'm glad the Lord had more compassion than His disciples had. I'm glad He loves souls better than we do. For if He didn't, who would ever be saved? He couldn't be hid. Because where Jesus is, He must reveal His pity. He must reveal His love. And the final thing that great truth led to was the demonstration of His power. Matthew 15:28, the woman's daughter was healed. Why can Jesus not be hid? Because wherever He is, He's going to exercise life-changing power. He cannot be present without effect. Now let me repeat that. Because this challenges us to the very root of our Christian profession as a church. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot be present to no effect. In other words, we cannot claim the presence of Christ if He is not doing anything in our midst. There's no such thing. If Jesus Christ is present, He will apply His truth to the hearts of those who hear it. He will bring pardon to guilty sinners. He will bring peace to troubled hearts. He will bring assurance to those who have been afflicted with doubt. He will bring comfort to those who are bearing great trials and troubles. He brings strength to those who are overcome by their own weakness. He brings guidance to those who are wondering where to go and how to go. And most of all, He will give grace to His people to live for Him, because where Jesus is, His power must be demonstrated. Must be. There's no such thing of Christ staying among a people to do nothing. He went to Nazareth, and He could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Did He stay there to do nothing? No, He moved on to where He would do something. Men and women, Christ cannot be concealed. That's a challenge to us. Because if He's doing nothing, it's because He's moved on. He's moved on. As a church, we cannot do anything without the demonstration of His power. What can we do to save sinners? What can we do to build up saints? What can we do to advance the kingdom of God? What can we do to overthrow the apostasy of the last days? What can we do in the face of the concentrated attack of the powers of hell? What can we do? Nothing. Oh, we may stand, but our stand will be in vain. We may preach, our preaching will be useless. We may bring to bear all our energy, it will produce no fruit. Now we should do all those things. But to make them fruitful, we need the power of Christ demonstrated. But if He's here, if He's in our midst, He must demonstrate His power. You see, He cannot be hid. He is the unconcealable Christ. I said at the beginning that for a time, and with good reason, the Lord Jesus sought to hide Himself, and even then He couldn't be hid. You know, we're not called to hide Him. We're called to make Him known, are we not? Far from hiding Him, we're taught to publicize Him. Let's go to it with the absolute assurance that if we obey Him in this, He will not be hid. His person will be confessed. His pity will be revealed. And His power will be exercised with a mighty demonstration.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.